If you live to be 80 or more, a conservative estimate is that you will speak more than 300 million words in your lifetime. For context, that would fill 1,200,000 book pages, or the equivalent of 5,500 books. If your words were bound into books, what would they say? And who would want to read them? Would at least one volume be titled, Words I Spoke to Give Courage, Build Up, Show Love, and Affirm the People in My Life? Today, we want to help you write that book and discover how it can transform the friendships in your life. I'm Kim Weir. This is the Art of Friendship Podcast. We speak a lot of words. Sometimes they're purposeful and meaningful, and sometimes they're just fun or frivolous. If you're like me, you might have a whole volume titled, Words I Say When I Talk to Myself. The wonderful thing about words is that we have an endless supply of them. We don't have to worry about conserving them or saving them up. We can spend them as liberally as we want. But not all words have the same value. I think I'll get some ice cream is greater in count than you are important to me, but not infinitely so valuable. Words we speak to build up and give affirmation to others are valuable because they're productive. They do something. They're like a seed planted that will grow and flower into something beautiful inside someone else. So why are we so stingy with such words? Today, we're going to explore the language of affirmation and how it can impact your relationships, be they friendships at work or church, in your home or your inner circle. Every friendship will blossom when words of affirmation are liberally planted. To guide us into cultivating such words, we're joined by Matt and Lisa Jacobson. Matt is a pastor and the founder of FaithfulMen.com, and Lisa is a speaker and the founder of Club31Women.com, a community for Christian women authors. Together, they host the Faithful Life podcast and are authors of a wonderful book series titled 100 Words of Affirmation Your Blank Needs to Hear. In the series is affirmation your son needs to hear, your daughter needs to hear, your wife and your husband. And they're just getting started in helping us target our words as an investment in the relationships that matter most, no matter who those friends are. Matt and Lisa, welcome to the table at the Art of Friendship podcast. We're glad to have you here.
It's good to be here.
And you guys are in the beautiful state of Oregon where you're getting cool weather and most of the country is in a parched and weary land. So I'm just going to tell you, speaking in Texas, where we're not far from where cows are dropping dead right now, I'm a little on the jealous side. Our relationships can feel like that. They can feel like a dry and dusty place. It can feel like they are withering on the vine and we don't know why. You guys have this beautiful ministry that you have spent years of your life trying to help people understand that one way to water well is actually with a resource that is available to anybody, words.
It's very simple, but so powerful. And we often underestimate the impact that we can have with just the things that we say to the people we care about.
And I think a lot of us just live in how we feel about the other person. And, you know, you might be really positively disposed to the other person. Even, frankly, in challenging times, you still love them deeply. You still appreciate the person. But if you keep all of that truth inside you, the other person isn't a mind reader. They don't know how you're feeling about them. They don't know that you truly do appreciate them or love them or just value them. So we have to get to a place where we're willing to verbalize, we're willing to speak the things that we think. We can have really wonderful, warm thoughts, but it doesn't help the other person if we don't communicate those things.
In fact, I have a recent example of that because just yesterday I was talking to a girlfriend and I was telling her, we're in the process of selling our house and buying a new one. And I was telling her how Matt's just been taking care of all of those details, all of the so many of the loan things and all that paperwork. And I was just going on. I said, I'm just so thankful that Matt is so good at that. And he just really takes charge of that. So I don't have to worry so much. I just have to sign my papers. And then even before I was finished talking to my girlfriend, I thought, you know what? I don't think I've even said that to Matt, even though I've obviously been feeling it. And
well, I'm right here.
Go right ahead, Lisa. This is your moment.
I appreciate how you've been taking care of
that. You know, but it's funny because it is the everyday things where this opportunity to build into other people with words takes place. It's not the special occasions. It's not the momentous dinners or the celebrations. It really is where we speak our most words is in daily life. I'd love to hear a little bit about what that daily life looked like for you guys. You obviously have family. You're both in the realm of influencing others, work. What does that look like for you? What kind of people cross your path on a daily basis?
Well, the thing is when you get up in the morning, the first person who crosses your path is your spouse, you know? And what we've tried to cultivate in our marriage, and we don't hit it 100% of the time, but we literally purpose to greet each other with a loving comment, just something positive. Just smile, look at your spouse in the eye and say, hey, how you doing? And just starting the day with a loving comment. So that's just one thing that it's not hard to do. It's actually way easier than it seems, especially, and if you're having challenging times, it seems, oh my goodness, that's a mountain I can't climb. The truth is, it's not very far from where you are. And if you would just start, just be the person to initiate. And so that's what we try to do. Just starting the day is speak kind words to each other. Just say something loving.
So the obstacle to that is actually the people. What I want to say is, oh my gosh, you snored half the night and I didn't sleep. Or turn out the light, I'm not ready to get up. Then there are people who do the things that we want to correct. Help, let's say help. We want to help them with our words, whether it's our spouse or our children. I mean, the problem is we're already thinking of the things that we don't want to affirm. We want to make them stop doing stuff.
I think sometimes we think that if we build up that other person, then they're not going to be motivated to change, you know, so, or if we think, oh, if I don't address this now, I never will, or I'll just let him or her get away with it. When in actuality, you can still be genuine and building up the other person, identify something you appreciate, you admire about them, but it doesn't mean you're not going to have a hard conversation at some point. That is better. That kind of conversation is better maybe later after your first cup of coffee and just say, hey, can I just mention to you, you know, you make a lot of noise when you get up in the morning. But by then, you know, we've already had a moment of connection, had a moment of saying, I see you, I care about you. And we found the other person is much more willing to receive that.
You know, there's just this age old adage that we've probably all heard 1,000 times, but it's so true. People don't care how much you know until they
know how much you care.
Right. And that is so true. You know, hard conversations are much easier when they are conducted with a soft spirit. And there's, of course, a verse in the Bible that says a soft answer turns away wrath. If you can say something in a kind and loving way, in a soft way, and in a non-accusatory way, and not impugning the person's motives, but just talking about the thing that happened and how you feel about it rather than you did this, but how it makes me feel. If you can speak with a soft tone to each other, it's incredibly important when you're dealing with tough subjects. But relate, you talk about relationships and kindness in relationships and friendship. Really, the core of friendship is taking the time to learn what's meaningful and valuable to the other person, and then just seeking to meet those needs and, you know, or wants. You know, if you actually love somebody, you want to do the things that they want, you know? And so I want to be quieter when I get up in the morning, right? Because I know what disturbs, because I'm thinking about her sleep. I'm thinking about what matters to her. Yeah. And this is true for parental relationships. It's true for marriage. It's true for everything. It's actually taking the time to get outside of just that, you know, view I have in the mirror. I'm looking at me. Get outside of that and say, what's meaningful? What's valuable? What will say love to that other person? What can I do to communicate? I care about you. People love being cared about. I know I love being cared about, right? We actually have the power within ourselves to think that through and respond to the other person in that way.
Yeah, thinking through, you know, talking about scripture and God's guidance on the impact of words, Proverbs 16, gracious words are like a honeycomb. But the part that is, I think, so powerful about the verses, it goes on to say, it's sweetness to the soul and health to the body. That there is this much more consequential impact about our words, and particularly the graciousness of words. He has lots to say, and that's a conversation for another day about tongues being like fire and burning things down. But today we really want to focus on the gracious words, or what Proverbs 25 calls a word aptly spoken. It's the right word at the right time for the right moment, that it would bring health, sweetness to the soul, and health to the body. That's quite a claim that scripture makes. And I guess I'd like to see how you see that play out.
You talk about that last clause in that verse, it brings health to the body. The Bible describes the marriage relationship as one. The two shall become one. And in Ephesians, it says, when you love your wife, you're actually loving yourself, right? And so the health that's brought to that unity, to that entity, comes in part from how I speak, the gracious way I choose to speak. And, you know, some of the things that we've learned over the years is there are many things that don't need to be said. You think they do? I just need to.
Well, that right there is a word aptly spoken that most of us need to hear. Goodness, there are words that don't need to be spoken. So affirmation, really, by that definition, affirmation is sometimes what we simply don't say.
It can be. No, it totally can be. I was just thinking all as well about this idea of how these words affect your body. And it is so true. I've seen it so many different ways, but just for instance, say Matt is down and I can just see it in his whole demeanor. It's like just a little, almost like hunched over, just, and then that shadow across his face when he's discouraged. And then if I take the time to go to him and say, you know, I just want to talk to you about some things that I just see in you and I appreciate you, and get as specific as I can be about how you handled this. And even though it didn't turn out the way you had hoped, I saw you doing the right thing. And I just really admire that about you. And it's from my heart, right? It's, you know, it's not just a compliment. It's a genuine affirmation of what I see. And without him saying anything, you can just see him. And this goes for a lot of different context, but I can just see him stand up a little straighter. I can see his face lighten up. And I just thought that's so true, how it actually makes you feel physically better, not just emotionally or spiritually better. It's that powerful.
You know, and there's another aspect of this too. And you spoke just a moment ago about sometimes affirmation can be what you're not saying. And, you know, for the guys listening, and not that this is 100%, you know, guys and gals, but For the most part, you hear often that, you know, he just won't listen to me, or I don't feel heard. And, you know, guys, if you want your wife to feel affirmed, and frankly, it goes for any person, really, but it's so powerful in marriage. Learn to love listening to her. Tell your wife, like Lisa will be in the car, and again, this is something that I've had to learn, but Lisa will be in the car, and she'll just say, oh, I just feel like I'm just nattering on. And I've learned to say, you know what? I love the sound of your voice. I hope you never stop talking, right? Learn to listen to your wife. Choose to listen. Choose to like to listen. It's a choice. And she will feel so affirmed and valued by that choice. It just says, you matter to me. Your thoughts matter to me. You know, what you care about matters to me. And I just want to hear about that. It's a powerful thing to genuinely listen. And it's a very affirming thing in marriage.
So let's talk a moment about that word that you repeated several times and certainly is in the title of your books. The word affirmation. A minute ago, Lisa, you said, I'm not just complimenting, or another way to say that is flattering. You intentionally use the word affirm and affirmation. How is that different? Because I think maybe we ought to get on the same page, because hey, I'm a writer. I can compliment you all day long, and I can do it in very flowery, flattering ways. If that is not what you're saying, if you are not saying, hey, it's just important to say good things, what is it that you're calling, or that you believe God's word is calling us to in the sense of affirmation? What is that exactly?
Well, I think it's intentional, for one thing. It's not just something that comes to your mind. It's something you are purposing to communicate to the other person. It's building up that person in small ways, in big ways, but with your words, building up what you see in them, what you admire about them, what you appreciate about them. So it can be a broad category, but the end result should be the same with someone that is built up, that it feels better about themselves, sees themselves in true light, not just a better light, but really who they really are.
Yeah, it's helping the other person, and purposing, like thinking this yourself, helping the other person to see their value.
Mm-hmm. It's almost tied to the idea of confirmation. You're helping confirm in them something that you see.
Yes, absolutely.
But just thinking through the way that you're using this term in our conversation, it really does feel as if you're saying, because I'm being intentional, I am being a student of this other person, my friend, whoever that friend may be, I then can speak with confirmation to affirm in them something I believe to be true. I mean, in a way, it feels like all of that is wrapped up in what you're saying our words should be aiming for.
There's a lot of things in life that speak to a person to suggest they don't measure up, they're not worthy, they don't, you know, that they're just nothing to account, you know, that anybody would account for. And so all of those negative voices that are in the world, that are just part of life that people experience, you know, it makes you blind sometimes to the things that you do bring to the relationship, the value that you do have. And so that's really what affirmation is about, is helping the other person that you love see the true value that they actually have and that they bring to the relationship.
It really requires that we not take people for granted, which is probably our default mode. As you said earlier, we might think it, or we might just assume that whatever that is that they provide in our lives, bringing value to us and to our relationship, will just always be there. It's sort of saying, I'm not going to just assume that I'm do that, or that this will always be there, or that, or on this side, or to assume that you even know that this is what I think or believe.
Right. Right. And that's why gratefulness in the relationship is such an important sister aspect to affirmation, because when we're not grateful, when other people feel that we're not grateful, it again speaks to their perception of how you value them. And it's just, gratefulness is so easy to communicate, because there's only about 1,000 things in every day in a relationship that you could point out and speak to say, hey, I'm grateful for that. And it might be the 500th time the sheets got washed, but you know what? Just thanking, like how many tasks are there in life that are just like the stuff that has to get done, you know?
Right.
And it's so mundane, and it's so ordinary, and it's so easy to pass over as like, hey, that's just what gets done. Well, actually, no, there's a person doing that. And that person just drinks it in when you point out that, hey, I saw you do that, and I appreciate that. That's just something of real value. You're gifting our family by that service. Thank you so much.
That reminds me, just even yesterday, one of our sons, he's just turning 18, and he's in that season of life where he's finished high school and he's just trying to navigate the next big steps. And it's pretty overwhelming, you know, to be in that season of life, is to figure out, okay, what do I do? Where do I go? And I could see he was struggling. Matt and I've been talking a lot with him about, you know, getting a job and taking these steps toward adulthood. And so we were sitting next to each other yesterday morning at our coffee time. And I just turned to him and I said to him, I said, I just want you to know how much I appreciate your, he takes our special needs daughter to her therapy 3 times a week. It's something he volunteered to do a couple of years ago. And it's been a huge blessing to us that he takes care of that. And I said, I just want to acknowledge that that's not something your dad and I take for granted, and that it's a real ministry in our home, this service that you offer. And he just smiled. He looked over and he grabbed my hand, this big, you know, hunky 18-year-old.
Yeah, hold your hands with mom. That was beautiful.
For him, it was an apple of gold in a setting of silver. Something to be treasured is another way of saying that. You know, sometimes our words are things that don't just pass over someone. So many words are spoken in a day that honestly, I marvel when I think about it. And I think, I can't remember. How can I not remember something just spoken yesterday? And I think it's because so many words get spoken to and at each other and from us, that there are those words, though, that are such a treasure that they're actually captured and savored and held onto, as if you put them in a setting and took them with you. And something tells me, for your son, that will be one of those moments. And oftentimes in my experience, we can see that on someone. You know, when you've hit the mark, when you've watered their soul. What is it scripture says? Yeah. He who waters others will himself be watered. And what comes back to us is you get to see that reaction And it is very refreshing and life-giving when you are able to speak truth into someone in such a way that builds them up, that they will treasure that, and then that you see it come back to you in a sort of an appreciation. It's powerful.
It is powerful.
And there's a big difference between throwing out a thank you, hey, thanks for doing that, you know, which is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't get that confused with affirmation, because I think affirmation is much more taking that minute, that few seconds of really stopping, looking in the person's eyes and articulating what it is you appreciate, admire. Yeah. And because that, like you said, there are so many words that even a, hey, thanks for doing that kind of can get lost in the wind, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's another important thing of just, let me just take a moment to actually acknowledge this person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see the power of, you know, as we're talking about in so much of what we've spoken of so far has been in the context of the family and we're about to pivot, but I can really see as a mom myself, the significance of doing that in such a way and so intentionally that your kids can't help but recognize that it was intentional and you are modeling for them this powerful relationship skill that they will take with them when they leave home. But to be able to model for them in such a way that there is power in focusing on the other person with such intentionality, what a training tool for them relationally when they leave the home and when they have to build those friendships, when they have to try to cultivate a friendship within a marriage or lay a groundwork for friendship with their children or create new friendships when they leave home and are in all new environments where they've left familiar and have to start again. The payoff for this intentional affirmation for them will also be something they take with them.
Yeah, and it builds a sense of self-awareness. It builds a sense of self-confidence. And when you help, in this case, we're talking children, when you help them see their value, it gives them a sense of a positive, and I mean, there can be a negative side of this too in terms of being prideful, and you certainly don't want to build that into your child, but when this affirmation is properly purposed and given on a regular basis, that's really important to remember. It's got to be regular. But when it's done on a regular basis, it gives them a real sense of themselves and a sense of self-confidence that they can take out into the broader world.
Yeah, well, and like most of us, we don't always see in ourselves what's true. We get the voices in our heads. We get the voice of society, the voice of our flesh, the voice of insecurity, all those things. And they all together amplify any weakness we have. And it's sometimes to have a mirror held up that shows us the qualities that we miss ourselves and that the greater society at large is prone to miss is powerful. And not just within the context of the family. Thinking about outside of the family, particularly, let's just say, within our own friendship relationships. I mean, all relationships require work, which is why a lot of times we find ourselves lonely because we just want to have a friend. We don't have to do anything to maintain that friendship. And of course, that's what this whole podcast is about, is how do we become the kind of person that can nurture, maintain, create, and keep meaningful relationships outside of the family. Let's talk about a couple of things. I'd like to talk about sort of the creating and maintaining and the value we bring to other friends by being an affirmer for them, but also in a context of peripheral friendships, like coworkers, acquaintances, people we go to church with that aren't intimates, how you can see affirmation playing a role there, what that would look like. But let's start with our friends who we do have a tendency, maybe I'll just confess, to take for granted. You know, we've already built the relationship. Can't that be enough?
Yeah, it's something we can leave off and assume that they already know how we feel about them, what we believe about them. And we had a conversation with two long-term friends we've known since before we were married, and we spent the weekend with them. And my girlfriend was just in a difficult place where she wasn't being valued at work, and we really could hear her pain in that. And she's trying to be mature about it, you know, but there's always the human person that just goes, ow, you know, that I've not been recognized. I've contributed here. And so both Matt and I have this chance to say, this is how we see you. These are your gifts. This is your efforts here have been so impactful that you've actually created this community that's lasted, like those kinds of things. And it was such a great conversation. And one, you don't necessarily thing to have, because you want to like, oh no, you're going to be fine, or oh no, you're great, as opposed to something like, hey, this is what we see, this is what we observe, and look at the results, and just helping them like, okay, thank you. Even if, you know, even my boss doesn't see that, it means a lot that you would see that.
I think in a misguided way, I certainly have done this, feeling as if the most affirming thing I can do is agree with my friend how bad her employer sucks. That's affirmation. You know, that it's like, oh man, how dare they treat you like that? You're right. They're whatever, you know, adding in my slander and my malice and my anger, which, by the way, Colossians says, when it comes to words, we're to put those things away. But in a way, that can feel like, yes, affirmation, because I'm taking my friend's side. Why is that not as productive?
Well, it's not as productive because it cultivates in them something that the Lord doesn't want to see cultivated. And so it just requires then some discernment, listening to the Spirit, and looking for those things that won't speak to the person's baser nature, but you can still support them in it. And, you know, that just in terms of seeing other people, we talked about seeing in marriage, seeing in with your children, in these other personal relationships that, or even the broader circle of people that you encounter. You know, the Bible makes a really interesting broad statement. It says, esteem others better than yourself. Recognize that there is value in the other person and consider that value when you encounter them. And they are somebody made in the image of God. And, you know, when you take the time to just think about, consider, recognize that you walk into a room, let's say you're at the lobby at church, you know, and you just said, oh, well, I'm not intimate with these people, but there they are. And we're going to bump into each other. We're going to say something to each other. You don't know anything about what that person is dealing with, what they're struggling with, whether, you know, you've got an opportunity to speak God's grace into the life of that other person. And you have no idea what they're dealing with. And that's so, other than our very close, intimate friendships, you really don't have any idea what somebody struggled with. And everybody has pain. Everybody has challenges. Everybody has something that they're struggling with, dealing with, that's in their face. And so God wants us to kind of turn that focus away from ourselves, look at that other person and say, you know what, you're valuable. I'm going to think biblically about who you are in the eyes of God. And that gives me an opportunity then to look for a way that I can speak grace into the life of that other person, and not knowing at all what they're dealing with. But God will use you in that way if you make yourself available to Him with that mindset.
I often think that the task of building one another up in this way, we're calling affirmation, comes more naturally, or feels like it comes more naturally to women. Not going to stereotype, but there is a reality. We are wired differently. That's just, regardless of what everybody else is saying in the world today, the reality is we are genetically different. We are wired different. God's created us different. And we have a greater, or a more natural, capacity for nurturing. And affirmation falls into that area of nurturing another friend. You're nurturing the friend, you're nurturing the relationship. So for men who might struggle with this and they just want to say, dude, you know, and that's supposed to communicate it. How do you grow in this?
One of the things, and this is true for men and women, but one of the things that a lot of men don't really focus on or think about is the power that they have. The power that they have in their countenance and in their words and in the tone and what they say and how they say it. And when a person is confronted with the reality that the people that you're with are not mind readers, they don't just know your thoughts, you have a responsibility to speak to them. And the Bible is full of instruction about speaking, about, well, for instance, being an ambassador. How good is the ambassador that sits at home in his beautiful suite and never goes out and represents Christ, right? We're ambassadors. We are called to speak. We're called to interact. We're called to engage. And, you know, somebody might just say, well, you know what? I'm just naturally not very good at that. Hey, great. That's a baseline. It's an area that you can grow in. So that's what I say to men. That's how I teach men. It's something for you to grow in. And many of them, of the men that I teach in the marriage coaching that I do, is they have to start this with their wife. They've got to cultivate it there. But a lot of people feel weak. I try to help people see that they have this tremendous power to speak into the life of another person. And so it has to do with changing the mindset of how you think about yourself.
Yeah, so interesting that you started that by talking about the power that a man has. And part of, I think, this whole touchy-feely conversation, the words of affirmation, is that it can feel, in a sense, a weakness. Like, it's a soft thing. But it's interesting that you bring that up. Sure. I was just writing this morning for our What Is His Name devotional, which, by the way, as long as I'm bringing it up, let me point you guys over to hopeondemand.com. I hope you'll subscribe. We are going through all year names of God directly out of the Bible. What does he say about himself? What are his different names, titles, and designations? And how does knowing him help us know ourselves better? So I hope you'll subscribe over at hopeondemand.com. But this morning I was writing about one of the names of God. And in Psalm 68, David starts out by proclaiming the might and the power of God to crush his enemies. And then two verses later, this mighty, powerful God, he says, and you are the father of the fatherless, and you are the defender of the widow. That in David's mind is part of God's might and strength, is that he is a carer and a protector and a defender and a nurturer. And bringing those two things together, I think, gives us a different vision of what power and strength looks like. And affirming words can fall into that category of, I mean, there are so many people that have become defenseless in society simply by the power of the image that people project on them, the way they see themselves. They have become victims of perception in a lot of ways to the messaging of society. And words of affirmation, it is like a sword that you yield for somebody to defend them against those by telling them the truth.
Absolutely. And there's one other element of this that I like to speak into the lives of men, and that is, this is not an option for the Christian man. You actually have a responsibility to do this. So, you know, you might feel like, well, I'm not natural at that. I'm not good at that. Well, you know what? You weren't good at anything when you were a toddler. You learned it, right? So we learn those things, except, you know, how to manipulate your parents and get cookies. I guess we're all good at that.
No lessons needed. I'm still pretty good at that if I'm not careful. The cookie part. Well, no, and the manipulating part.
But the thing is that, you know, if we can take ourselves out of the game by looking at that, no, that's that personality's responsibility. Mm-hmm. No, it's your responsibility. God put the responsibility, certainly if you're married, if you have children, in your relationships, if you want to be a good friend, if you want to grow and build up other people, which you should want to if you're a believer, we're to be iron in each other's lives, as the word says. It's not just something that the lucky few fell in a hole backwards and boy, they're just naturally inclined to, you know, to affirm others. No, this is something that you can cultivate, that you can learn, and that you can get good at, and that you have a responsibility to make a part of who you are in your interaction with the people that God brings.
Well, I certainly have a friend who is so great at this, and I will say, I have learned from her, because I'm sort of a bottom line, let's get it done type A personality, that this doesn't come naturally. I say on the compassion scale, I'm kind of low. I have to work at it. I have to put on compassion clothes. I have to put on affirming words. But I have literally learned by how she has treated me and how I have seen her interact with other people. Everybody needs a Pam in their life. I mean, she just sees what other people don't see. It's not that she says the right words, because she'll tell you, I trip over my tongue, but it's that she's perceptive. She sees, she's intuitive. She thinks, she makes the point of discerning. She notices. All of those things make her so valuable as someone who will affirm what's true in you. Lisa, as you in your own relationships, I would love to hear how somebody has done this for you, what difference it's made in your life, because I know you're doing that for other people, but how have you received that from others, and what kind of impact has it made on you to have friends come alongside of you, not a husband or, you know, your adult children, but friends that have sort of come from the outside of your life.
Oh, it's had a huge effect. A few years ago, I went through a really, really difficult season, just very painful. And it's the kind of thing that only you can walk through it yourself. And, but this group of friends, they knew what I was going through. They were watching and just wishing they could help. I mean, they're praying for me, which was great. But one day I received this envelope and it was full of these handwritten notes from each one of these friends. And there must have been 8 or 9. And they just were saying the things that they appreciate about me, that they see about me, that they've learned from me. It was amazing. It was so amazing. It was so timely. I still have it. I just came across it the other day when I was packing to move. I thought, oh, there's my envelope of just encouraging words. And
things they knew were true about you, because you kind of forget that when you're in the tunnel sometimes.
Because I was so, so low. And it's just a really beautiful expression of God's love through these women, that they took the time to do that.
Yeah, I think that illustrates, too, something that maybe we haven't mentioned. I mean, the practicality is that every time we come up with go out with our girlfriends or go hang out with the guys or whatever, we're not going to sit and have an affirmation fest. We're not going to, I'm going to affirm you, you affirm me. We're going to, that's not reality. But the weaving in of it, but there are times where it should be incredibly intentional when our friends are going through painful seasons to stop and think, if this were me, how might I be feeling? How would this affect me? Where would this be targeting my heart and soul? Where is this going to be a weakness in my body? That is a time to stop and go, I am going to be intentional. I am going to step into that and maybe go overboard on what I would do if we were hanging out, you know, getting a snow cone, which, by the way, is my favorite summer thing to do with my friends. But that there's just a power in that, a strengthening and a way to buoy one another up in a season where we are under deep water.
Again, exercise your power to bless somebody else. You know, the power of that note, the power of that word, the power of that encouragement, it's spiritual power that God has entrusted to you to minister to others.
And even just going back to thinking, if this doesn't come naturally to you, I mean, now I've written books about this. I've talked a lot about this. However, the truth is I was not natural at this. I didn't really grow in a home that we didn't talk to each other that way. It just wasn't the way we communicated. And so when I got married and started having children, this whole idea of offering a blessing, of building up, just felt so awkward to me. And I remember the first time I went to one of our younger sons and I just put my hand on his shoulder while he was washing chicken eggs and kind of doing the, ugh, my life is meaningless sort of a, you know, expression. I said, no, son, I really believe that God has big things in store for you. And as soon as I said it, I go, oh, that was so lame. Oh my goodness. That was just like, like a bad line from a movie. Like that's those were thoughts going in my mind, but he stopped what he was doing and he looked up at me. He goes, really, Mom, do you really think so? And I thought, okay, that worked. Like it was huge. And it was huge for, he didn't know it, but it was huge for me too, to go, you know what? That wasn't maybe beautifully expressed, but it was from my heart. And it felt like taking a risk for me because I didn't know how he'd respond. And it was something he'll never forget, and neither will I. But so just practicing going, even if you have to write it out ahead of time, go, okay, I'm going to rehearse what I'm going to say tonight when he gets home or when she gets back from school or whatever it is, I think that's fine. Do what it takes to get those words out.
Yeah. We say often on this podcast, because we're really modeling the concept of friendship after the gospel-centered friendship of Christ to us, which he outlines in John 15. And among the other things that he says when he's saying, you know, that he's transparent and that he tells us what his father said, he lays down his life, he puts our lives ahead of his own. He also says, I loved you first. I chose you first. So often we can get into this mode of, well, why aren't they doing that for me? Yes, I know I need to do it for them. Why aren't they doing it for me?
You know, I don't hear that from my kids. I don't hear that from my spouse. My friends, they take me for granted. I never hear anything positive, and I'm always listening to them. I would say that that would be a situation where we might apply God's gospel-centered friendship model, which is go first, mm-hmm. choose first.
Mm-hmm. Choose first. And just, you know what? You might have a lot of relationships where you feel like I am doing 90% of the pouring in here. But the thing is that, you know, of course we want it to come back the other way, but the Lord sees you and everything is accounted for. That's not some lost investment. Hmm. The Lord sees that investment. Hmm. That's a spiritual investment. And he is going to set all records straight at some time. And just, you know, when the Bible says we're to work, it says work in a certain way. Work is unto the Lord. I'm doing this because I belong to the Lord. And so the way I do it, I should do it because I belong to the Lord. And we got to keep that in mind sometimes, because a lot of times friendships can be really frustrating because we feel like we're, you know, carrying 90% of the investment there. And, but the thing is God still sees it. God still sees it. It's not lost. It's not some investment down a rat hole. God sees it. And he keeps account of everything.
Here is a powerful truth, but I tell you, Jesus said that everyone will give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. And if God keeps count of the empty words, he is keeping count of the fruitful words as well. So thank you for reminding us that if our goal is simply to get something from another person, that's not really sincere affirmation at all. That's about us. Yeah. And it's not going to yield the investment. It's not going to yield the fruit that words of affirmation can. They're not going to be the thing that's going to be health to the body and strength for the soul.
So true.
I have to ask you, do you have a book on affirmation for son, affirmation for daughter, affirmation for spouse? Do you have in the works a book on affirmation for adult children? Because I'm thinking that's something you guys should do.
Well,
that's a good idea.
It is a good idea. You know, we
feel free to steal that.
Okay.
Well, we joke a lot about how we used to think about having adult kids when we had just the young ones. We thought, okay, so, you know, they're going to move on and, you know, maybe a little more, breathing room space. Yeah. And we're more involved with our adult kids than we were when they were in the house, in a good way.
Yeah, I say all the time.
Good.
Yeah, being someone whose kids are out of the house and spending a lot of time in women's ministry, I do get the question a lot of, you know, what do you think this is the hardest season? You know, once I get through this, how's it going to go? And I'm honest all the time and say I think the hardest part of parenting is after they leave the nest, because it's a whole different kind of parenting, and it is where you actually get to do that thing of trying to cultivate an actual friendship. All the groundwork that you've laid when they're kids, when you can't technically quote unquote be their friend, yeah. but you're trying to be friendly, this is where you want it to yield fruit as they get older. You want to have friendship with your kids, but they're still navigating all new firsts. They're just not first words, first tooth, first walk. It's all kinds of other firsts. And it's challenging. So, you know, building that relationship with our adult kids, I think that is a powerful time where words of affirmation could be significant, not only in helping them navigate sort of all the new stuff in their life as adults and beyond, but also cultivating an actual friendship.
Just yesterday, Matt had lunch with one of the adult sons. I had breakfast with one of our adult daughters. So there is that intentionality.
That don't live here. I mean, they live in a town 20 miles from here.
But just because we are seeking to keep that relationship. And like you were saying, build a friendship, because it's more than just, we don't just parent them now, although they do come to us for advice and, mm-hmm. and have questions for us. But there is a sense of listening to what they're going through, what they're, where they're seeking and the relationships they're trying to navigate.
Okay, well, I'm going to hold on for the actual book that's got that as its core. Just tools to help each other. Sometimes just recognizing the different areas where we can focus our affirmation. You know, so much of the culture focuses on affirmation of what's physical, how you look, what you own. Yeah. It's easy to slip into that when we are affirming one another, unless we're thinking more deeply about character and opportunity and behavior. Yeah. So I think that's where a ministry like yours is so helpful, because it's training us to cultivate the deeper significant things that are things that God himself values that we can recognize in other people and help them recognize in themselves.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you guys so much. I'm almost be more intentional this week, which is really the goal, right? It's putting into practice the things that we learn and not just going, well, that's interesting. So I feel very personally challenged in all of my different friend relationships to speak into people's lives that I could be refreshing in their soul, give health to their bodies. Crazy, I can do it with just words. Thanks for telling me that.
All right, thank you so much.
It's really great to be with you. Thank you so much.
When I think of all the books my words have written, there's the words I've spoken to my dog, words I've spoken in anger, words I've spoken trying to be funny but didn't quite hit the mark. I sure hope there are volumes of books that I have written, words that affirmed the people that I love, words that built up my friends, words other people treasure that I spoke in sincerity. Today's always a good day to start a new book. If you need a little encouragement, a little help of what that could look like, maybe it doesn't come naturally to you, then let me suggest that you let Matt and Lisa mentor you in that. Their books, 100 Words of Affirmation series, has got something for everyone. I can send you to another place where you can find some life-giving words, and that is hopeondemand.com. I hope you'll go there, because it's not just a place where you can get great podcasts. I hope Art of Friendship is one of those. But it's also a place full of interesting blogs and articles on all kinds of topics that matter to who we are in our lives today. Whether it's what to do if your heart hurts, or how to prepare to be a father, or verses that can encourage you in dealing with grief, to raising children, to our life-giving devotional series, What is His Name?, where we look directly into the Word of God. He is the author of the words of life. We hope you'll join us there. You can subscribe and it will come to your email every day as we dig into God's word and learn more about him. And that means we are also learning more about ourselves. All right, my lovelies, I hope you have a wonderful week. I can't wait to be with you again on the next episode of the Art of Friendship podcast. Until then, remember, keep friending with purpose.